And it is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in to the latest edition of Cabale and Mac. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, everybody who may be in the area for the U.S. Open. I'm sure you're up early to watch this. No, you're watching golf. Speaking of the U.S. Open, we may have a special guest on Monday, I heard, Cabale. Yeah.
Well, it all depends on how the second round goes, right?
We'll see. We'll leave it a mystery for now. You guys probably able to guess, but we'll do that on Monday after the U.S. Open is over. And as Mark's alluding to, this person's U.S. Open may be over today. It is Friday, June 13th, Friday the 13th, kaboom. We are presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door. Heck, H-A-E-C-K, teamhomes.com. The whole team there ready to help you buy or sell a home and get into the perfect Haas, regardless of what your needs are. And we appreciate them supporting the show every single day. We appreciate all of you wonderful people supporting the show as well. Be sure to follow us if you're not already at Cabale and Mac on X, on Instagram, on Facebook. Hell, we're on TikTok. And of course, on YouTube, where we're up over 1,730 subscribers now. When we get to 2,500, that's when we do the big Paul Skeens autographed baseball giveaway. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube as well. Again, he's veteran Steelers reporter, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show at WWE.com, writer, ardent TJ Watt supporter, as you see the hat. Mark Cabale, I'm just a guy with a microphone in his basement, Chris Mack, and we are ready. Now that mandatory minicamp has wrapped up, it's completely done. Everybody's got lots of thoughts on the offensive side of the ball, especially. We'll let you hear some of those thoughts today from offensive line coach Pat Meyer, talking about Broderick Jones and Zach Frazier, a guy who I'm starting to hear a little bit more and more about bubbling to the surface on the national level, kaboom, I think because we've all taken so much notice of the job he did last year here in Pittsburgh. We'll hear from the man who will be calling the plays. No, Ben, not Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear from Arthur Smith because he had something interesting to say as well. A lot of offensive side of the ball talk today here on Cabale and Mac. Don't forget to comment if you're watching on YouTube, X, wherever you are, your thoughts on this mandatory mini camp, the arrival of Aaron Rodgers, and everybody's thoughts on what is going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thanks as well to Southwest Greens for supporting the show. SouthwestGreensPA.com, they are the best. You want your yard to be the best. You want it to look good, feel good, and not have to worry about taking care of it constantly, whether you're going to get a monsoon's worth of rain in a weekend or nothing for 2 months. You won't have to worry about it at all. You won't have to spray anything on it to kill the weeds. You won't have to mow. You won't have to trim because it's a beautiful artificial lawn that will be the best looking yard in the neighborhood, most functional yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Go to southwestgreenspa.com today and tell Jake that Cabale and Mac sent you. So let's start with Kaboom, the guy who, well, first, I thought it was interesting. It was very good timing by Ben Roethlisberger and his guy Spence to have Randy Fichtner on his footballing podcast this week. And I searched for clips here and there, but it was more of a wide-ranging conversation they had. And I couldn't really smash anything into 60 seconds that would have remained in context and made sense because they talked about that relationship a lot between OC and quarterback. And obviously, Ben and Randy were really close. They're still close. Randy shows up in Ben's basement. I don't know if he's sleeping there or not, to talk about Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith. But the one thing that Ben was insistent upon, and Randy, for the most part, agreed with him, was that when Aaron Rodgers decides to take the keys to the car and drive the offense, regardless of when it is or what it looks like, he's going to get the opportunity to do that. And Arthur Smith is going to have to let him do that because, let's be honest, we're talking about, even if he's on his last legs, as some people believe, a Hall of Fame quarterback with a Super Bowl ring and four MVPs. So I don't think there's anything surprising there. When Aaron wants to take over, Aaron's going to take over.
Well, unless what he said the other day, he got a little offended by that question, right?
Yeah.
And what are you really saying here? I work within the structure of the offense. Sure, it cost him 2 minutes and stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched Aaron Rodgers close enough to be able to determine whether or not he just says, hell with the playbook, I'm doing what I want to do. Like Ben's last year in the fourth quarter – because I'll give you three quarters, Canada, then I'm taking over in the fourth. And the fourth was always a significant quarter for them. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the case or not. If he is going to take over, if he's going to work within the structure of the offense, I would imagine he's going to work within the structure of the offense for the most part. And, you know, get him into the right plays. I mean, that's key right there as well. But the relationship is an interesting thing. And I did see Randy. He was at practice on, what was that, Tuesday maybe. He got some fabulous hair going on.
He's really, yeah, I mean, he's a full-fledged member of REO Speedwagon with that look.
Nipple rubber. I mean, he's once said that in a interview. Yeah, he's really doing well in the nipple rubber. I'm like, what, huh?
He was talking about Banner, wasn't he?
No, it was the third tight end. You know how you do.
Yeah, but wasn't Banner running that position?
Yeah, probably was. You know, 72 is eligible where Banner found his calling card. But the relationship between OC and quarterback is pretty significant. And I think what I was able to glean off of a couple days and probably a couple things that were off the record that, you know, Aaron and Arthur Smith might be two peas in the pod type of situation, might actually have some things in common, might be hanging out here and there. So it's a good start. So,
well, it's definitely, look, Ben was a quarterback who, especially in the second half of his career post Haley, wanted to have an OC who he was really close with, right? Who he got along really well with, who they were two peas in a pod and always thinking on the same wavelength. He got that with Randy because, look, I don't want to disparage Randy any more than he's already been disparaged over the last couple of years as an OC, but Ben was running the offense, right? And Randy was fine with that because Ben, more often than not, was executing. So I think this is a much different dynamic, and all credit to Ben and Randy for describing what their dynamic was like. Completely different, I think, than Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers. Not in that they won't get along or don't already get along, but in that Arthur's a more accomplished OC, I think, in that Arthur has more maybe concrete ideas about what the offense should look like. Randy, I think, kind of said, okay, Ben, what do you want to do? This may be Arthur asking Aaron what he wants to do, but also saying, okay, we're going to do it within what we have, which I think may be better in some ways, right? Like Arthur talked a lot about using what's at your disposal and making the most of the guys that you have. In fact, I'll just play the clip for you here.
Obviously, as your roster evolves, I mean, obviously we didn't bring Aaron in here and sign DK for all that money to go run the wishbone. So, you know, you try to play to the strengths of your team.
You try to play to the strengths of your team. And that line that's been pulled a million times over the last 48 hours.
You look at last year, and that was a detriment. He couldn't play towards the strength of this team, so he had to adapt to what the strength of the team was, which wasn't necessarily what he wanted to do. So, I mean, that was sort of like, I think, a precursor of saying, hey, man, we got the personnel now. Now I can do what we want. I can do what I want to do, and the offense can do with how I envisioned an offense should run, why I was hired.
Well, I think he's the one thing I will say about Arthur, and some people didn't like this at time, at least early in the year last year, but he was willing to, I guess the best way to put it is try to poke holes in a defense over the first 2.5 quarters of a game. Try a bunch of different weapons because other than George Pickens, maybe they didn't have one outstanding weapon on the offensive side of the ball. He'd try Najee, he'd try Jalen, he'd try Pat, he'd try everything at his disposal until he found the one thing that was working, and then they would try to exploit that late in ball games, and it worked sometimes. You know, I think the Washington game is a classic example of that. So if he's willing to do that, but also understand that Metcalf especially, and depending on what Aaron looks like, Rodgers, are the two biggest strengths of your offense, then you lean into that. And I don't know if we'll see as much of the sort of testing the waters theory early in games, or if it really will be going into games week to week. Hey, DK is our number one weapon. Let's try to feed DK right off the bat and then see where things go from there.
Yeah, there's options. That's the thing. Last year, at least late in the season, there weren't many very, very good options, to be honest with you. I mean, you had a couple wide receivers that when Pickens was down, wasn't going to light up the scoreboard. Our offensive line was struggling. The running backs were struggling. The quarterback was struggling. So you were pretty much limited in what you can do. I do almost think back towards the Ben days where there is a legit game plan being put into it as, hey, this team is weak in X, Y, and Z, so let's mm-hmm. go attack X, Y, and Z rather than nameless gray faces. We do what we do. We worry about what we do. It doesn't work in the NFL. You know, if a team wants to take away your run game, they're going to take away your run game. You better be able to adapt on the fly. I think they're more capable of doing that, at least on paper this year. I mean, everything's on paper right now. We're just assuming everything right now because we haven't really seen anything yet. But on paper, it looks like that they could be a more dynamic offense because of that.
Well, and I also think, and again, not to disparage Randy and what the offense was like under Ben and Randy Feuchner, but I don't know, like, did Randy give Ben a single play call in his ear as he went into the huddle and then let Ben completely discard it at times? Yeah, I think that was the case. This sounded like, and Aaron Rodgers mentioned it the other day when he spoke to the media for about 15 minutes, a lot of times 2-3 plays get called in, and then Aaron may check out and into a different play that's already been called in the huddle. I think that's what I mean when I talk about the structure of this thing being a little more, not rigid, that's not the right word, but just a little more structure in the way games are called than it was in the Roethlisberger, Feuchner era. Even though Ben was successful at times, like I said, during that era, I think this is a different way to do it when you've got two guys like Smith and Rodgers who may get along really well. Like you said, they may be hanging out, talking a lot of ball in the facility, away from the facility. I don't know. They may have been texting each other back and forth over the last 2 months, like Rodgers was doing with Mike T. But I think if Arthur feels good about, okay, I'm going to give this guy multiple options every single time he goes to the line, he can pick what's best for him at that point. We're not going to get to a point like we did late November, early December, where Arthur Smith basically told Russell Wilson, hey, here's the play, run it.
Yeah, I don't think that's quite unusual, though, the multiple plays in the huddle. So, I mean, that's pretty much the norm of most of the offenses right now. I mean, even in the run game, that's why you see defenses disguised as late as possible. Then you can't make that determination of what play you want to go to, which brings us back to a 20-year veteran, and maybe he has a bad Achilles. Maybe his, you know, knees are rickety, but between this, he knows he's seen everything a million times. So even the disguises of things. So that should be able to, you know, help him as well. I don't know. I just don't know. It's hard to say right now because we saw so little of Aaron here in the last 3 days. I don't know if that was by design of Mike Tomlin or not.
Just to clarify, did he do any team 7-7, 11-11 on Wednesday or Thursday?
It was all the same stuff. He never really took a team snap at all that I saw. It was all individual stuff that you probably saw on TikTok and Facebook. And
I mean, I'll say those clips that we did see, the few clips that we did see of him, you know, the play action drill where, you know, they hand it off and then roll out and catch the ball on the run and throw downfield. I mean, he looks to be moving well for a guy his age. He looks fine. I mean,
that's the one need to move, though. I mean, do you want that guy to move? I don't think you want him to. I mean, I don't think you want him to roll the pocket very much.
I don't think it's the primary goal, no. But if you're facing a team that can get after the quarterback, you want to know that if you've got to move the pocket a little bit or move the quarterback a little bit, you can do that. That if you're actually moving the ball on the ground, you can utilize play action and some rollouts. I mean, they don't have to be big, you know, naked boots to the far side of the field or anything like that, but that you can move them around a little bit and utilize play action to open things up. I think I'd like to know that you can do it.
The play action's elite. You can see how he runs through those drills, and it's probably not full speed, but you could tell that's an elite part of his game. Not to mention, I mean, instead of, you know, taking a step or two to the right to avoid the rush, I mean, he's the Dan Marino, like, man, bang. I've never seen a quarterback have that quick of a release. I mean, so, the first time I saw him, I was like, oh my goodness, look at this.
That's this why really- I have hope that aside from, you know, having DK Metcalf in the fold, obviously, that when they talk about working to their strengths on offense, I don't want to take too much out of comments during mandatory minicamp, but the fact that Aaron Rodgers mentioned Darnell Washington and Pat Freiermuth, even Connor Hayward by name.
Did we hear from Darnell Washington first right here on the program?
Yes. And you know, Arthur, and we know what he likes to do on offense. He'd put 13 tight ends out there if he could. So I do have hope that they can get creative with between Rodgers' quick release, a better ability to move this year than maybe last September and October, and those tight ends at their disposal that, you know, we've talked a lot about the wide receiver two conundrum, which we'll get to Zach Azani in just a second, receivers coach. But like there, I would think you may have a lot of opportunities this year to use multiple tight end sets and also move the ball down the field while doing so. Like everybody gets caught up in the modern offenses of the NFL and that, oh my God, they got two tight ends on the field. They must be running the ball. Ooh, look at this. Well, no, you can put two tight ends on the field and you can still utilize the pass game when you've got an offensive line that should be better this year than they were the second half of last season because they're young, up and coming, gelling, and the ability for the quarterback to get rid of the ball in, you know, 1.8 seconds.
Yeah, you know, another – I was just BSing with a guy. I would say a scout, I guess. Ooh, I'm talking to a scout. Ooh. He said, hey, keep an eye on number 14. Man, are we glad we got him. Kenny G.
Okay.
He hasn't been mentioned much since the signing. It was like, okay, 1 year. But they are thrilled to have this guy. This guy, they saw something in this guy that they think can help this offense. I don't know where that fits in, that third downs,
yeah,
whatever. Obviously, it's going to be kick returns. But that's a sneaky name that I just keep hearing with Kenny Gainwell. So that's another potential. At least they feel it's a very important cog of their offense right now.
Well, you could give me a formation of, you know, Metcalf, Freiermuth, Washington, Warren, and Gainwell as the eligibles. And that's an entire playbook kind of personnel group where you can do just about anything with that personnel group out there. And you've got one wide receiver on the field. And that's what I mean by working to your strengths, using the talent that's available to you and being, you know, Gainwell can catch the ball out of the backfield really well. We know Jaylen Warren at least was able to do it better than Najee, I think, and that both tight ends, and of course, you've got a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver. Anybody can get the ball on that play. If you're in third and five, I don't necessarily have a problem going two tight ends and two backs with that personnel group and trusting that they're still going to be able to pick up the first down, that it's not necessarily a running formation with two backs and two tight ends.
Those three running backs and Caleb Johnson as well, at least he's getting better at it, or elite pass pro guys too. So you don't have to worry about, I mean, Caleb Johnson has been working on it, but you can tell that he has all the tools and he's going to pick that up really, really quickly. So you don't have to really worry about having, you know, maybe two running backs on the field on third down, because this guy, Jaylen Warren, is going to knock your head off. Kenny Gainwell apparently is a very good pass pro guy if you need him, and Caleb Johnson as well. I mean, so everything just seems too positive right now. You know, I'm not a positive person, Mac. Something has to be wrong here.
Serial skepticist Mark Cabali is excited about the offense on June 13th.
He doesn't have to stink. I mean, Freiermuth, man, I mean, he's a guy that, first of all, he's taken a great leadership role. You could tell in the face and how he acts. But he's very, very talented as well. I mean, I Yes, you can say injuries might come up and bite him in the butt, but it's going to be a lot of it's going to depend on how Rodgers plays. But everything seems positive right now. Everything seems like it'd be growing, going in the right direction. And they got $100 million next year in the cap, under the cap. I mean, well, we sit here and moan and complain, and I think they're find themselves in a pretty decent position. Maybe not a franchise quarterback, but. You know, a lot of people are like that, franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, it feels like everything else is falling into place other than, like we've talked about, the wide receiver two position. Unless you believe a guy you talked to the other day, wide receivers coach Zach Azani.
Last week, obviously you guys are looking at that two spot. Where do you view the wide receiver two at right now as we speak?
I mean, you know, it's funny, everyone, I think... To your point, everyone overlooks number 19. That guy's a legit NFL receiver. I know he's like this big. I don't. He just gets separation all over the field. He'll bite your face off in the run game. You know, nothing affects him. He's a great leader. So, you know, he can do a lot of things that a two can do. And then everyone else is battling for a spot, and it's going to be by committee, which I'm okay with because there's a lot of really cool little pieces there that, you know, are sneaky. So everyone's downplaying, underplaying our group right now. I love it that way. I don't really want anyone looking at us anyway. It'll be good. So I think that two spot is all Calvin's right now. And really, you know, him and DK are such different players that, you know, there's going to be plays where he is the one guy because that's his route and vice versa because they're so different, you know, in stature. And everything. So good question.
Good question, Mark. You got a good question. From Zach Azani, receivers coach.
Me and him have a interesting relationship.
So how so? Is he a big Kaboom fan?
I think he's a big Pat McAfee fan. So,
okay.
Association. But yeah. Well, he told me a couple of things. He told me what his little saying that the three letters he always tweets. Then somebody at Carter asked him about what's it mean. He goes, "I can't tell you. Ask him." And I said, "I already forgot what you told me, so I have no idea what it means." It was something to do with like just being, he loves the grimy, dirty, getting the mud, slimy wide receivers that's going to scratch and claw type of guys. That's the guys he likes. That's DK Metcalf. I mean, that's Calvin Austin, too. That's Ben Skowronek, man.
That's the personality that I think most Steeler fans want to see. Like every Steelers fan dreams of a receiver with that Hines Ward mentality, right? So that's great. You can have that mentality. I don't want to run down Calvin Austin. I have a good friend in Memphis, John Martin, who absolutely loves Calvin Austin and says all they got to do is just give him the ball more often and he'll turn it into big plays. Every time Calvin Austin makes a play, he texts me. He's like, "Look, there's my guy, Calvin." He's got game-breaking ability because of the speed. Like, you can't argue against that. I just have a question about whether he can be the guy who's out there getting wide receiver two reps on a regular basis, in so much as is he going to draw coverages away from DK's side of the field? He's not at that point yet. No. And that's not a knock on him. It's just maybe the reality of the rest of the league has not picked up on Calvin Austin's ability to do the kind of things that Zach Azani's talking about there.
Yeah, I mean, what did he run, a 4.2, 4.3?
It's quick.
I think he ran like a 4.1, and I mean, it's a great story, the combine. I think there was a malfunction in the clock, and it came up as like 4.1 or something, like some crazy number. But then you talk about a guy that works his butt off. And the thing with Austin is, and you look at, he's been in the league, 3 years now? First year, Liz Frank injury, lost. Second year was the Matt Canada, Kenny Bickett, Mitch Trubisky area. Then it goes on to another coordinator and Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson. He hasn't really had any continuity with anything in the offense, and he continues to get a little bit better. And he can play multiple positions too. Okay, maybe he played a lot out of the slot, but he can line up on the outside and beat you as well. But I am interested in like what Zach Azani did say was, just the sheer different size and what those two bring with Metcalf and Austin, that has to present an interesting, difficult matchup. Because there's the guys that match up against DK aren't matching up with Calvin Austin and vice versa. So if you use strategic motions or shifts, you could get a mismatch because, like I said, you better have a quick, fast,
yeah,
you jitterbug guy covering Calvin Austin, but that guy, DK Metcalf's going to squash you like a bug. So, I mean, it's somewhat interesting, I think.
I think it's interesting. I think I'm curious to see if Calvin Austin really gets those opportunities because there's still the possibility they could bring in a more veteran wide receiver.
Amari Cooper at the airport right now?
Is he? I don't know. Send us your snaps of Amari Cooper standing at the ticket counter at Pittsburgh Internet.
I asked somebody that yesterday who may be a decision maker or two, and they just laughed at me.
Well, you mentioned Gabe Davis. That kind of went out the window. That was a cursory visit, and maybe they're not too excited about the injuries that he's still getting over. Keenan Allen apparently went on a live or a podcast the other day and said he's not interested in Pittsburgh.
And we call Aaron Rodgers weird for doing darkness retreats. This guy's talking stuff on a stream at 3 a.m. or whatever. That's weird to me. But the Keenan Allen, I asked somebody about that. They're like, what? What did he say? So Steelers are totally unaware of what happened with the stream and what he said. I'm not – what, Pittsburgh? No.
And well, then
never know.
There's a rumor slash report. I don't know what it is about Aaron Rodgers wanting Amari Cooper to be brought in. Again, it's that time of year.
I got the laugh and chuckle with the Amari Cooper. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay, so
I don't know if that was a laugh or chuckle that he's at the airport or a laugh and chuckle. We don't want him.
But here's the thing. You mentioned, you know, God forbid there's an injury to someone in that skill position bunch on offense. I think they can survive it, not thrive, but survive if, say, Freiermuth or Darnell Washington went down for a week or two. You can modify some things. You can survive, if not thrive, if Caleb Johnson or Jalen Warren or Kenny G goes down for a week or two.
And probably Aaron Rodgers too, right?
Probably, because you've got Mason and you trust him. The one's position where I would it'll look just like last December. If they've got to deal without DK Metcalf for a week or two, then I don't want to say the whole offense gets screwed, but you're screwed because you don't have another legitimate option. Again, not to knock Calvin Austin, but if you put Calvin Austin in there as the wide receiver one, as the primary target, because he's number two and he gets elevated in that situation, no defense is going to be shaking in their boots about a receiver core of, you know, Austin, Woods, and Skowronek. Like, so they do need to add some depth there.
I keep forgetting about Bobby Trees.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be the last time I call him that, by the way. For what it's worth, for some reason, the Steelers gave away some kind of awards. It was like a swag bag yesterday, right?
Okay.
After practice, they were like on three fields down and like, hey. And the two people I know that got it were Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin.
Okay, so Roman Wilson's dropsy day on Tuesday didn't necessarily affect him.
Probably just a one-day thing. I mean, you're going to have those type of days. He must have done something during this offseason period to really catch the eyes of the Steelers if he's getting the old swag bag. I'm not sure what was in the swag bag. Once again, Kuntz told me, yeah, some kind of crappy music that I'm never going to listen to. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
What does Kuntz listen to, I wonder? He's a country guy.
He also said he got it for perfect attendance, so I'm not sure if he was ribbing me there on that.
Yeah. But you get what I'm saying about the wide receiver depth, right? Like, if they got to go into certain weeks with Austin, I forgot.
Just like last year, just like December last year.
Which is why you need to get another guy. If I'm a defense, I still have some concern about the receivers. If it's, I'll use Amari Cooper as the example again, even though you got the chuckle out of someone for that. But if it's Cooper, Austin, Wilson, Woods, I'm a little more concerned about that than Austin, Wilson, Woods, Skowronek. Sorry, Ben, no offense. But like, you know, that's why they need that depth, I think, that if Metcalf goes down for a week or two, you're still forcing defenses to respect your receiving core a little bit.
What do you make of, you know, good friend Jonathan Jones of, I guess he's CBS now. He used to work at Charlotte. His report of saying the Steelers are making calls, but they're lowballing everybody.
I mean,
do you believe it? Second of all, I don't think it's a bad idea if it is, especially this time of the year.
I believe they're making calls, and I believe on June 13th, you don't have to give the house away to get what you want. You wait for another 4 or 5 weeks right before camp, and you see what's going on then, and maybe some other teams' rosters have shaken out a little bit more.
Isn't that what happened last year, and they got left at the altar?
Yeah.
And on their pants.
But look, you're at the point now where, I mean, it really depends what you're talking about offering. I mean, and who's legitimately out there.
Hey, Olave. We want Olave. You know, hey, we'll give you a sixth rounder.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what we're talking about? That level?
That kind of call? I mean, maybe, look, Omar, other than the Aiyuk mess last summer, has shown an ability, I think, to get guys for a little less than some people would expect, right? Like the DK deal, I know they had to sign him afterwards and they've committed a ton of money to him, but like that DK trade, not giving up a first round pick for DK Metcalf, in my opinion anyway, is a steal. And, you know, that is the kind of stuff where maybe Omar's just laying the groundwork with these teams now in June to come back around in late July, early August, and actually pull the trigger on a move. If he knows people are going to laugh at him and hang up when he mentions a sixth round pick for somebody, he knows that if he comes back to that team at the end of July with a fourth round pick, okay, now it's a conversation. So, I mean, I think people sometimes get caught up, and I'm not sitting there in Omar's office as a fly on the wall, but I think people get caught up in thinking it's like Madden, where you just propose the trade, and if they say no, you instantly just, you know, upgrade the pick that you're offering, and bang, it gets done all in 5 minutes right there on the phone. I think it's a lot more prolonged negotiation in many instances when you're talking about trades of guys who are under contract, especially. Like, it just, especially players of impact. Like, that doesn't get done like a Madden trade.
Yeah, just like the great movie Draft Day. And he tried to get his draft picks back. He goes, it's a different world than it was 5 minutes ago.
Exactly. It'll be a different world in 3 or 4 weeks, maybe, if they're trying to acquire that other receiver.
I mean, just to be clear, I mean, I think Amari Cooper is a very, very good player. And I think he would be very good in this offense, very good in that locker room. But I think that there are even close to, I think the chuckle came from, man, maybe we reached out, but it's not like there's nothing imminent type of thing.
Okay.
Well, I think they'd be more than willing. I mean,
they look, I stand by what I said last week. They can't go into the regular season. I don't think.
I hear you.
No offense to Calvin Austin or Roman Wilson or anything Zach Azzani just said. You can't go into the season with Austin as your number two. I don't care how much he's worked his butt off. He's simply not going to draw the coverage away from DK. Mismatches aside, I know, like you talked about, he's not going to draw the coverage away from DK.
But if you see him every day in practice and it's like, this guy is legit, don't you start buying into it saying,
You can buy into it while also saying, I'm buying into what this dude is doing. And if we get in a jam where one of our top two receivers goes down, again, let's assume it's Metcalf and Cooper, or Metcalf and anybody who's a legitimate number two, that if one of them goes down for a couple of weeks, you can put Calvin Austin in that role for a couple of weeks. But I think he's best as that third guy right now anyway. Maybe he goes out and proves me wrong and makes me look like an idiot, and that would be great. But he's best as that guy who's the complement to the top two guys. Again, maybe all this hard work in the spring pays off come September and they actually go into the season with him as the wide receiver too, and it all pays off and he shocks the world and he becomes the next Romeo Doubs or whatever it is, you know, that guy who Rodgers feels like he can rely on in a pinch. That'd be great. I'd love to see that. Have 10 touchdowns this year. Awesome. But I don't think you're going to see that right out of the gate.
Would you extend him late August, early September, if he continues on this pace?
The problem is you've now, as an organization, due to everything you've said about him in the spring, kind of laid the groundwork for him being a wide receiver too, because you've told everyone you believe he can be that. So if I'm Calvin Austin, pay me like a number two instead of pay me like a number three. I'd extend him as a number three, no problem. I'd do it today. But if you use him all the way up through training camp like a number two, well, all of a sudden, I'm Calvin Austin. I want number two money.
I mean, maybe this is all gamesmanship by Zach Azzone. I don't know. Maybe he's like, hey, I want to throw this out there. Maybe motivate Calvin Austin a little bit more. And I asked Calvin, did you hear it? He goes, I tried not to, but yeah, I heard it. But maybe also when they're making – Omar's making that trade and like, okay, you really, really need a number two, then all of a sudden you Google Steelers wide receiver. We love Calvin Austin. He's our number two. It's like, okay, maybe they don't want him. So maybe we got to move, you know, a little bit quicker or take this offer that they're – I don't know. I don't know him as well enough to thinking that he's thinking on the fly that much of trying to help out the GM. I would assume not.
I would assume not too. I think, like you said, this is just an especially positive time of year. You know, it's like Mike Tomlin said the other day, it's a football-like atmosphere.
People don't believe you on that one, but.
Well, other than we're talking about the offensive side of the ball today, the defensive side of the ball is a completely different part of the equation, especially when you're talking about the sticky situation between TJ and them. But I just think they're feeling really good. Aaron Rodgers walks in the door. He looks pretty good in minicamp. The wide receivers are all stepping up in practice. They feel good about things. So the wide receiver coach, I don't blame him. That's his job to pump up his guys' tires.
I mean, with Rodgers too, you hear so many horror stories, right? I mean, I spend most of my time in the locker room just being a creep. And when I say that, I'm not talking about, you know.
Sitting there hiding in the corner watching what everybody's doing.
No, I'm just like looking around, just trying to scan the – you know, trying to get the feel for everything. You see Aaron Rodgers comes over. They're playing huge games of cards right there, and he comes, pulls up a chair right next to Cam Hayward, Miles Killebrew. I don't know if he played or not, but he's jumping in there. He's, you know, he's trying not to offend Will Howard, you know, by saying, hey, why don't you try this? And Will's like, he goes, dude, I hope they overset my bounds. I was like, whoa, this is Aaron Rodgers. What are you talking about? So everything seems to be working now. At least, I mean, with Aaron, I mean, I try to pay attention, you know, how he talks to different guys. But what happens in week 9, you know, week 10, week 11? It's right. Like you said, it's all nice and rosy.
It's great now. It's the honeymoon period, right? Yeah. So what happens when if Rodgers struggles for a couple of weeks and the offense is bogged down and they're scoring 16 points a game for a month, then, yeah, when things get tough, what's it look like?
But, I mean – initial reactions, man. He's not coming in here, at least back to Aaron again. I see no sense of entitlement. I see no sense of, hey, I'm Aaron Rodgers. He just came in trying to be one of the dudes. I mean, that might change, but everything you hear about it in his, whatever that's called, his documentary, and you're like, boy, this guy's strange. Seemed like a normal, same old normal dude. I've seen a million different players come through that locker room.
Well, it's like I said the other day, he can be strange and still be one of the dudes in the room.
Yeah,
like,
who considers what is strange, you know?
Well, going to Costa Rica for an ayahuasca trip or planning your trip to Egypt for 6/12/24 based on some kind of numerology. Well, like all that kind of stuff is can be considered weird, and you can still be a good dude who gets along with everybody in the locker room, I guess is my point, because the locker room, just like life, is just a slice of society, man. You got totally normal guys, you got crazy guys, you got weird guys. And so you need to have a different slice of everybody in that locker room. And you can still come together and fit in.
It's all relative. What's weird? Like I mentioned before, a guy who's a 30-year-old playing video games till 3 a.m, I think's weird. But that might be normal in their world.
Right.
So I mean, who label somebody weird for what they do. You know, if he wants to go and
sure as hell not us.
By the way, I was talking to Arthur Smith and he told me about my TJ hat. And I said, yeah, you know, it's I'm going to wear it until TJ signs his deal. Yeah, so that actually is a high school next to me. He goes, you need to get some kickbacks on that. Get some marketing on there. I'm like, you're damn right.
What? We're going to get the TJ athletic department won't spring for AstroTurf for the baseball and softball fields. You think Chirpak's cutting you a check for wearing a TJ hat?
I don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, he said I should get some marketing, some deals out of this. And this is coming from a billionaire.
Maybe Chirp gives you some of those used cargo shorts of his.
I'd wear that. You know, maybe. You know, I don't know. I don't think he does the cargo, does he? He just does the regular.
Has he graduated from cargo? I mean, he's got shorts on. Just for those of you that aren't in the Pittsburgh area, because we have viewership and listenership all over the world and all over the country. Bill Chirpak is the head football coach, Thomas Jefferson High School. A Western Pennsylvania, Thomas Jefferson. It's where Mark and I both live, in Jefferson Hills, and is regarded as one of the all-time great high school football coaches, multiple state titles, Whipple titles, but he always wears shorts on the sideline, and they're always like khaki cargo type shorts. It doesn't matter. It's 25 degrees out. He's got shorts on.
Yeah. He's a legend. Sure. He's a legend.
He is. The chicken sandwiches in the cafeteria at the high school.
You know, maybe we should be able to get free lunches. We go and get some Chirp's chicken. Maybe we get to the, you know.
My daughter can't manage to keep her lunch account positive for more than a week and a half without buying too much stuff. So, no, we're not going to the high school.
We got
to
get Vickers to hook us up a little bit more, maybe. Some, you know, unlimited supply to the TJ Garb store or something, right?
That's a good idea. I've got my TJ hat right here. I told you, I'm not wearing mine until he signs the deal. Then I'll put mine on.
Mine's going to look like that by the time he signs it.
All black. Thanks to Impact HVAC for sponsoring the show as well. Get the AC tuned up before it really gets cranking hot this summer. If you got issues with it, they'll come out and take care of it, repair it for you. Wintertime, when it's bitter cold out and your furnace will not kick on as ours did this past year, they'll come out and take a look at it. They're happy to help, happy to be one of the best HVAC companies in the Pittsburgh area, locally owned right here in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Even if you don't think there's anything wrong with your system, now's a great time of year to get a checkup on it to make sure it is working when you got to get the AC cranking. And it's a little steamy out there the last couple of days.
It was hot yesterday. Woo!
It's juicy outside. It's humid. It's humid. Like I said, when humid. I was humid, Joe DiNardo used to say, or no, it was Bob Kudzma. You remember Bob Kudzma on Channel 2 back in the day?
Anybody in Pittsburgh knows Kudzma DiNardo.
He'd use the three H's, hazy, hot, and humid.
Oh, I hated this.
All summer long.
Hazy, hot, and humid. Or as you would say, you ever go down to Houston?
Do I really say Houston that weird?
I used to bust your balls all the time when you're on the morning show, calling you Houston, Y-O-U.
I don't know why I say it that way. I don't know. I was born there, quickly moved to Pittsburgh when I was
born in Houston.
I was born in Houston. And then my mom.
So you're a true Pittsburgher. I didn't know that.
I am a Pittsburgher. My mom moved back to Pittsburgh when I was a couple months old.
If you were born in Mexico, then moved here. You're not an American.
Are you trying to call ICE on me?
No, I want to see some. I don't think you have a Pennsylvania passport. Is that what it would be?
It does say birthplace Houston, Texas on my passport.
I think mine says Charleroi, PA.
Charleroi.
Oh, by the way, I told, speaking of Charleroi, the legendary 88 Transit bus. You know that one?
No, is that the Pat bus that runs out to Charleroi? Or is that Mid-Mon Valley Transit Authority? Yeah.
I told Fryermuth, I said, man, I got a great marketing idea for you. The 88 Transit, baby. He goes, oh, I like that. To put your big mug on the side of the bus to go down to Mon Valley, go to Dunleavy. Absolutely.
Stopping the door along the way, Monongahela, all in places. Manassas.
The East Lost Boss says you're not a true Pittsburgher. I agree with him.
I have lived. Hold on.
You're not.
How old am I? I'm 45. I'm almost 46. I have lived. Do we count 4 years at Penn State as living in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, they're college guys, so of course.
Still counts. Okay, so I have lived 41 of my 46 years on this planet in Pittsburgh, in Western PA.
It's not, I mean, Alejandro Villanueva was born in like France or somewhere. I don't even
right.
know where.
Does that make him French? Germany.
But you weren't born on a naval or an army base in Houston, so.
Stop it.
You're not a Pittsburgher.
Shut up. Yes, I am.
My neighbors are more Pittsburghers than you.
You do have an eclectic bunch of neighbors. I'll tell you that. If you've ever driven through Cabali's neighborhood, I won't tell people exactly where it is, but it is. It has got an international flair. I'll say that.
Well,
I'm back to the offense before. Hey, back to the McKeesport. Offense before I get you in trouble. Hey,
speaking of that, when's the International Village up in McKeesport?
That's a great question. I know the Greek Food Festival out in Peters Township was this week, but we didn't get a chance to go, which is disappointing.
You know, Troy might have been there.
He's I know he shows up all the time for that.
It was a Greek church in Manessen he'd always show up to. I'm like,
man, a gyro and some baklava.
I'm glad you said it correctly.
What, baklava?
No, gyro. Yeah. Sometimes they have it at the Steelers cafeteria and they walk through and say, I'll take a hero. Or I'm like, what?
Who says that?
Oh, a lot of people say it. I'm like, Koontz, tell them the right way to say it.
Gyro. Give me a gyro and some baklava.
Hero. I'll take a hero. I'm like, a what?
No. It's gyro. Back to the offense before we get any more down some kind of weird twisty path we can't get back from. This all falls apart if the offensive line doesn't come together the way we expect it to. And I think we're both on the same page of this offensive line was really good for the first two-thirds of last season, three-quarters of last season. And then there were some issues late in the year. But look, you've got Broderick Jones moving to his, I guess we'd call it, correct side, moving from the right to the left. You got Faletonu healthy. You got we're confident in Isaac Seumalo, the Samoan werewolf. We're confident in Mason McCormick. He looked like a road grader at times last year. And you got the guy in the middle, Zach Frazier, that pulls it all together. And Pat Meyer talked about a couple of those elements yesterday.
Can you put in perspective what Zach Frazier was able to do last year as a rookie coming in and that position and how he performed and everything that was to do with his responsibilities?
Yeah, he throws someone in as a rookie at the center position where, you know, he's a quarterback of the line and making all the calls and, you know, all the adjustments. It was a big transition for him. It was a big undertaking for him, for sure. And he had to do it, and he studied a lot, and he was up there a lot, and wants to know why he's still learning. He's a second year young man that's playing in the NFL at a very demanding position of leadership and authority up there. So he's still learning to do that, to be more vocal and do that stuff from a physical standpoint. Obviously, you know, his wrestling background and you know, just his raw power and strength. He's he came along and did a nice job for us last year, and he's gonna, you know, again, just much like Broderick, his next step should be take it to the next level now.
Do you have to be a leader at center? I mean, he seems not like a vocal type of guy.
He's
though.
A leader. He's like, he's not, maybe he may not be the most vocal, but he is a leader for sure. He says stuff, people listen, and he's directing that. But he is a leader for sure. Do you have to be that? I mean, you want them all to be leaders. They're all leaders in their own way. Everybody's built differently, but I'd like him to do it. He's doing that, and he's done a great job of doing that. So year one to year two is going to be a big step for him.
Steelers offensive line coach Pat Meyer the other day talking about Zach Frazier. He didn't give you a good question, but you could tell he liked it because he expounded on it a great deal. This franchise, when it's been great, Mark, has been always had a great center. I mean, you could go back, 55 years, all the way back to Ray Mansfield and Mike Webster, Dermoni Dawson, Marquise Pouncey, Jeff Harding's in the mix there for a few years.
Sean Mahan out of there. Hartwig. I saw him. He was at practice a couple days ago. Justin Hartwig.
Hartwig's got a ring. He was on the field for He was the center for Ben's big drive in 43, right?
He got called for safety because he held on Darnell Dockett.
Oh, that's right. Still, they've all when this team has been good, they've almost always had a great center. And I'm not trying to immediately put Zach Frazier on the Webster Dawson Pouncey tier yet. But I mean, everything you've reported and everything anybody has had to say about Zach Frazier to this point has been great. And now, like Pat Meyer just said there, we're talking about the jump from year one to year two, which is usually a massive one for guys who have to be picking up as much as a center has to pick up in an offense.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I don't even want to talk about Zach Frazier anymore. He's solid. He's going to be there. He's not going to mess up. We don't have to worry about him. We're going to look back in a decade and say, yeah, he made 9 out of 10 Pro Bowls coming up. That's how good he is and how good he's going to be. So I really have no worries about him whatsoever. Maybe, you know, maybe the tackles you can worry about. And one thing that Pat Meyer did tell me was about Isaac Seumalo, you know.
The Samoan werewolf.
Mr. Personality. Hey, Isaac, got a minute? Nope. How about after practice? Nope. Okay. But he said, Pat Meyer said, in my 30 years of coaching offensive line, I've never come across a guy smarter than Isaac Seumalo.
I mean, you need to have with this bunch of young guys that they have. So this is 4 starters on the offensive line have less than 3 years of experience in the NFL. You have, like I said, Frazier in his second year, McCormick in his second year, Faltanu technically in his second year, but it'll be like his rookie year, and Broderick in this will be his third year now, right? I have that right. So all 4 of those guys still relatively inexperienced. You have to have that veteran linchpin, I think. And Seumalo can be that, even though he's not the literal keystone in the middle of it all.
I mean, Meyer even said, he goes, there's sometimes I explain to these guys and, you know, they're just vegging out. And I'd be like, hey, Isaac, you want to add something to it? He goes, bing, bing, bing. They're like, oh, okay, I get it. I mean, because, you know, you got such an age gap and they really, really respect Seumalo as well. So he's invaluable. He's invaluable. I would like to talk to him, but, you know, he's a very frightening man. Whatever. Mason McCormick is another one, man. You talk about a guy who is like, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. You cannot find a nicer guy than Mason McCormick, and a guy who works his ass off like he does. So pleasant, so nice to talk to, very well-spoken, walks across that white line, and the guy turns into a maniac. It's just stunning how you can just flip the switch, flip it off. And I think Mason McCormick, you will see a huge jump in him last year. He come from Division II South Dakota, whatever it is. And a lot of those guys, and I was asking around, why are these Division, you know, 1AA guys just so overlooked anymore, like offensive line? So they develop late. I mean, a lot of them are like, you know, for lack of better terms, farmers and people. And they're, you know, they're not really grown into their body size yet. And all of a sudden, boom, there they are. And all of a sudden, they're stars. But the problem now is, I mean, I'm off on a tangent here, is the NIL and might end up killing that. Because once they're successful for a year or two of South Dakota, they're going to go get paid somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's...
Well, but yeah, while you've got all these guys on their entry-level deals, plus Seumalo, you take advantage of it. The only issue there is, again, like we talked about at the wide receiver position, the depth is not, you know, it's not the greatest behind...
They got the Anderson boys.
Yeah, you got Spencer and...
Calvin played a while in Denver. McCollum filled in last year. Mm-hmm. Ray Frazier was pretty solid.
It's, in my opinion anyway, it's a big drop off from any of those starting 5 to who would step in for them in a situation where they can't go.
You can get away with a week or two. You can't get away with a season. You can't get away with another James Daniels loss.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But that's as it stands right now with those starting 5. Again, assuming Jones, transitions well to the left side, which it sounds like he is so far. And Faletanu gets over any hiccups early on. I feel really good about this offensive line. The people that have said it's a terrible offensive line, I think you said this a couple weeks ago, just haven't been paying attention.
They've got the pedigree out the wazoo. So you like the quarterback, you like the running backs, you like the offensive line. The coordinator has a better opportunity to do what he wants to do. The wide receiver coach is gritty and grimy. The quarterback coach knows what he's doing. So if they get a wide receiver too, they're going to go 17-0. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not going that far. They'll be better than they were the last couple of years on offense. I think you're not talking about a bottom third of the league offense anymore. I think
the problem is we thought Kenny Pickett was the next Joe Montana 3 weeks.
Don't put that on us.
Then he walked into week one of the season like, where, what? I hope this is not the same, right? It's like, look at all these talent. They have a chance. They have they week one, they get shut out by the Jets. They're like, boys, this team stink. I mean, are we over? I'm guessing we are overreacting or overhyping to a degree of the talent.
Like I said, it's a time of year where these are football-like activities. These aren't football activities, as Mike T said the other day. So you're running on air. You know, it's a lot of individuals, not a lot of time in team periods. Let's see what it looks like once it gets to training camp. And then even then, you look at it and say, okay, who are they doing this against? Even when you get to the preseason, and you probably won't see a lot, if any, of Rodgers in the preseason. And we'll say, okay, but. We can't really take any of these, you know, positive thoughts and build off of them and our belief of this offense being significantly better than last year until we see it week one and beyond.
I just think the roster in general is better. I mean, Slay's better than Jackson. Thornhill is probably one of the unheralded stars of OTAs and minicamp. He's better than who was it, KZ last year. Wilson's better than Roberts. Their depth's better on the outside. Potentially Harmon's better than Ogunjobi. It just seems like the entire roster is this much better than last year, a click better than last year. And they won 10 games last year.
Yeah, so how much better are they? I mean, I've said this. If everything goes well, if all this positivity that we're feeling right now manifests itself in the regular season, they can be an 11-win team. If the Ravens should struggle or the Bengals defense looks like it did last year all over again, they can challenge for the division.
What's it? I might not be able to name one person on the Bengals defense right now.
Trey Hendrickson doesn't count, right?
No. Stewart's probably not on there. They just got rid of inside linebacker. I forget his name.
Yeah, I can't believe. Look, I understand wanting to keep all the big weapons and pieces intact on the offensive side of the ball. But the fact that they're continuing to use that as an excuse for not doing anything on the other side of the ball, including extending Hendrickson, that's going to end up being Joe Burrow. A healthy Joe Burrow should be contending for an AFC championship every year, especially with Jason Higgins. But when you don't do anything on the other side of the ball, and the offensive line is still, I mean, you're trying to play flag football, essentially. You're trying to score 40 points a game and hope that that's enough to win, which is not going to win a division in the AFC North. It's just not. You got to be able to do something on the other side of the ball against Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
They got Yosivas, too. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah. Yosivas.
Yosivas.
Don't try it again. You got it right the first time.
Hey,
screw it up if you try it
again. I just want to look up this Bengals defense. The only one I really – Dax Hill, of course.
Right.
Logan Wilson, pretty solid player.
Okay.
B.J. Hill.
How old is B.J. Hill now?
Probably 30, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So
Taylor Britt. We don't have much to go off of here.
No.
All their offense, I mean, with Eifert, Yosivas, Higgins, and Burrow, and who's our running back now from last year?
Chase Brown.
Yeah, he had a pretty good season last year in Chase Brown. Who else are we missing? I thought they drafted somebody, no?
No, they signed Samaje Perine.
Well, I'm a big Samaje Perine guy.
Are you?
Well, I saw him on the field in Kansas City, and not to sound like a creep or anything, his quads were the size of a red, what do you call that? Red oak tree, big ass oak tree, whatever you call that.
Redwood?
What was I trying to say? Redwood. He's got Sidney, red oak. Red oak, same thing, whatever.
He's got Sidney Crosby quads.
They're like that. They're like Friermuth quads. No, bigger than Friermuth quads. So ever since then. But he always seems to be a very nice role player, I think.
Perine? Yeah, but that's great. The offense has a ton of weapons at their disposal. Yeah.
I hear you.
Are they going to keep Burrow clean, and are they going to stop anybody from scoring 28?
I don't know how we got off on the Bengals stink one, but they got Ted Karras, my favorite guy in the world at center.
Because I don't know if
– I was being facetious.
I know. I don't
– check out his wiener.
What?
He's the one that wanted to kick us out of the locker room because he said everybody was looking at his wiener.
Ted Karras thought you were looking at his junk?
Me, just me in general. That's why he wanted to kick us out of the locker room. What are you talking about? Nobody's looking at you, Ted. Nobody cares.
The reason we got off on the Bengals tangent is because, like you said, if all the positivity we're feeling now gets manifested in the regular season, this could be an 11-win team, and that could be good enough to maybe challenge the Ravens for the division, depending on how things go for them. And at the very least, you're talking about a top wild card spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that probably means what?
Another thing we're overlooking is I don't see any potential hurdles to get over as jerks in the locker room. And we can figure out who left by.
Yeah.
I don't really see any that would jump out.
No, that's a good point. They have removed that element and went out of their way to do so.
Yes.
But I don't know. Was that necessarily causing problems on the field on Sundays?
Well, when one doesn't show up 30 minutes before the game, I would imagine that's not conducive to good rapport with them among certain peoples.
Fair point. Real quick before we wrap up, since you brought it up a couple moments ago, Rick wants to know how close on TJ. Are we close in money, just language in the contract he wants changed? We talked about this a little bit the other day, and everybody's going to talk about it until it gets done. But I imagine nothing has changed since we spoke 2 days ago when you said, when you repeated your report that there's a significant offer on the table. And I think, like Rick alluded to there, it's probably just language in the contract.
Yeah, it could be probably a little bit more. I mean, I can guarantee it's not getting done over the next 6 weeks. I can, you know, it's just, there's no use. And I'm pretty sure.
So here's the question then.
I think he would show up for mini for training camp, but I also thought he would show up for mandatory mini camp. So
that was going to be my question. Does he show up to Latrobe? And if he does show up, TJ Watt, does he actually take part in anything?
He'll do what he does, you know, work out on the side. I wouldn't do it. Would you? If you're looking at $120 million hanging in the balance, would you go out there and bust your rear end off for, you know, a 12 team reps or whatever? No, I just go out and work on the side. I think that's acceptable nowadays.
Okay. Maybe
5 years ago, I'd be like, what is this guy doing? But how can you sit there and criticize TJ Watt for being a hold in if he shows up when it's like, dude, look what he did 3 years ago when he held in?
But I guess my point would be if he doesn't show up at all, that'll be the next sign that this really has gotten stickier than anybody thought it would.
Yeah, I don't think the mini camp thing is a big deal. I really don't.
It's not a big deal.
It's fodder. Now, it shifts to a very big deal if he doesn't show up for training camp.
Yeah. I'd say so. Because then you start to wonder. I mean, look, training camp is what? 6 weeks before the start of the regular season.
July 23rd, they report.
So, yeah, if I do my math correctly, it's about 6 weeks before the start of the season. So there's still plenty of time to get something done in that time. And it's not like they haven't gotten it done with TJ on the eve of week one before.
But you look, Art Rooney says they want to get it done. Omar says they want it done. Tomlin said yesterday it's going to make it easy because both sides want to have it done. So to me, you're just maneuvering some money around, throwing $1 million here, guaranteeing something there, blah, blah, blah. Then it's a done deal. I don't think this is some kind of, you know, huge obstacle to overcome here. And it's like, you know, they burn bridges. I'm done with it. No, I don't think that's the case. I think it's just part of negotiations here. You know, you want to get what you're going to get.
Gonna get what you're gonna get. Jay Long on Twitter. TJ's a new dad. No issue with him missing mandatory minicamp at all. I don't think that was... I think we've deduced, based on what everybody's had to say, that that's not necessarily the reason he wasn't at mandatory minicamp. Maybe it played a part in it. I wouldn't blame him for that.
He showed up for one day, right?
Okay.
Many of people have kids on that team.
Yes.
Many of people got young kids on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're missing stuff. That's fine. Plus, man, you show up for a day or two, you got 6 more weeks off. Now, are we going to use that same excuse if he doesn't show up for many?
No, for training camp, it's a completely different deal.
I mean, I understand, but I just don't see the big deal of a guy who's made hundreds of millions of dollars in this league to take the private plane from Wisconsin to Pittsburgh and say, hey, I'm here. How you doing? Let's play some cards. Let's go Cam's golf outing. See you in 6 weeks.
Yeah, I don't either. And I tend to agree with you, but I can understand the people that want to give him a pass, I guess.
Well, I mean,
I don't give him a pass for it, but. And I guess we'll see if the team gives them a pass for it or not, if they decide to fine them or not.
I just don't think that they will.
But if he doesn't show up for training camp.
Training camp might be different. But once again, once he signs, they might say, the hell with the TJ.
Yeah.
They're typically not petty like that and say, hey, we're going to fine him. It's up to the – I don't think it's a mandatory fine. I think it's just up to the discretion of the organization whether you find him or not. But I mean, let's face it. If he even showed up, he was never going to put a helmet on. I mean,
all the other stuff that you said has been good to see, the atmosphere in the room, whether you talk about Rodgers or somebody else, just the guys being together is good for the environment.
Do you think when they're doing this, they're like, boy, you know, TJ's not showing up to mini camp. Mandatory meeting, Art, Omar, and Mike. He didn't show up to mandatory minicamp. Let's get this deal done now. Like, whatever. You know, they're going to have no say-so in it when they get back to the table. None.
So when you say back to the table, do you think
another offer comes in or counter offer or whatever the hell goes on?
Because at this point, if I'm Omar – I mean, I don't know who's made the last offer to who. You said there was a significant offer on the table to TJ.
Here's the offer. We want this. Let's hold off a little bit. Let's talk about it. Whatever. Whatever happens.
But this isn't 1883. We don't send it via Pony Express. Like, you can text a guy or his agent and say, hey, what about this? Like,
they're waiting to see if anybody blinks, I guess.
All right. As long as
you know who blinks, though.
As long as somebody blinks before the start of training camp, I'll feel a little bit
typically
better.
Typically, it's the organization.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. All you beautiful Yinzers out there, have a fantastic weekend. Monday mystery guest. Watch for this person this weekend. We'll just say that.
Maybe.
And thanks again to the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com for presenting Kabbalion Mac. E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. If you haven't yet, subscribe on YouTube. We're at right around 1,730 or 40 subscribers. When we get to 2,500, somebody who is subscribing to the show on YouTube will win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Thanks to our good friends at First and Goal Sports. Go to firstandgoalsports.com. First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village if you're in the Pittsburgh area. We have to, this is the last thing I'll leave it on. Our guy Jason in Florida, he lives just north of Tampa.
Jason Voorhees is no. Probably 13th.
No, that's a good guess, but not right. Jason, who lives just north of Tampa and won the autographed Pat Freiermuth helmet, has reiterated his desire that we sign the helmet as well. Are we willing to do this? He said he doesn't care that the value of said helmet gets tanked when we ruin it with our signatures.
Maybe I just put an X on it.
No, you can't do it. You can't be a jerk about it.
Dude, when was the last time you actually signed an autograph or signed your name? I wrote out a check the other day and my hands started hurting. I'm like, man, is this how you write? I mean, when was the last time you actually wrote something down? Right?
I mean, I write down notes for the show every time we do one.
I would be so
Somebody's got to keep track of this shit.
You know when you like go and like get a prescription or something, like I sign it, I just got like this. It's not even
a near. Can you try to do better for Jason's sake and do something on this? I'll bring it by later. Just a little Mark Cabali on the side of the helmet. I know you feel weird about it, but he insists that he wants it that way.
It's not going to be like personalized, is it? Hey, have a good day.
Have a good day.
Thanks for listening.
I think if you gave him a Mark Cabali scribble and then a dry, wet, dry, he would be very appreciative.
I don't have a number. Maybe I should put TJ. I'm just trying to think.
Dry, wet, dry. That should be the thing.
DWD. Then in 20 years, he'd be like, what the hell does this DWD mean?
I'll swing by a little bit later. You can sign it, and I'll finally ship this off to Jason, who won the
maybe
Pat Prime.
Maybe I'll get my 10-year-old daughter. She got better penmanship than me.
Come on. The guy legitimately wants your autograph on the helmet. You got to sign it.
This is not like fanatics and have to have documented video proof.
I'll take a picture of you signing it for documentation. How about that? You can put BVHOF. How about that?
What the heck is messaging me here?
All right. Now that you've been distracted.
Oh, no. I got some saying good.
What?
Apparently, I owe a lot of money for a traffic violation, which is that's a total scam. I hate this internet. They're going to suspend my driver's privileges for 30 days.
You sound like you're 76 years old. I hate this internet thing. All right, let's wrap it up for today. I'll swing by. We'll autograph the helmet, ship it off to Jason. You want to win the Paul Skeens autographed baseball, which I promise we will not touch other than to just put it in a box and ship it to you. We don't want to ruin that. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube at Cabali and Mac. Make sure you're following on X, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and yes, again, on YouTube. We'll do it again on Monday with a special mystery guest right here on Cabali and